In the name of God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was a good week for the banking industry. $42 billion in profit. Is that for this quarter or the year? These numbers are too much for me to handle. $42 billion. No lending going on, but they got 42 million. Meanwhile, the fast food workers were out on strike for a day, just trying to get a living wage. Average age, Burger King folks is now, 26 to 28. People working two, three jobs, trying to survive. How and when did we begin to despise working people? Have we no historical memory? How did that happen? Steel workers, miners, agricultural workers, people in the factories who built this country. It wasn't the rich. It was on the back, as you heard last week. Black people and slavery and exploitation. Yeah. They contribute. And now there's an attitude. Just get in the way. They make things more expensive. Where did that come from? Why are they the enemy? To what extent does our economy serve the common good? To what extent is our economy producing spiritual, ethically, ecologically sensitive people? Some of you are chuckling on the inside. You know that that's the point of the economy? And now it's so reversed, we've become slaves to the machine. Well, that's just the way. Oikonomia is the Greek word from which we get economy. You can hear it in there, can't you? Oikonomia. Which means household. Household. To hold the whole house. That's what an economy is. Now there is a contrast between corporate economies, right? For the domination and manipulation of capital and wealth. Predatory practices, if you can get away with them, are permissible. There is a contrast between that and each one of your ordinary households, where we are all attempting to increase what's called the use value for all the members of the household. Two key differences, see? In corporate economics, we're in it to maximize profits for the short run. The next quarter is it, right? Nobody's objecting to that. In the household, we're in it for the long run. The long haul. The second thing you see is, within the household, one has to take into account all of the costs and the benefits for all of the members of the household. You cannot walk around in public saying, most of my kids are eating. Sometimes two of the three are healthy. One of them might get an education. Right? Insane. The household is always for the whole. We know it, embedded in our being. It's all of us in this. Even the way in which we use the word economize today, what does that mean? Well, we have to economize at work. We have to cut those ways in which we care for people. My favorite Old Testament theologian, a fellow named Walter Brueggemann, outstanding theologian, scholar. He's been teaching for decades that the whole Old Testament or Hebrew Scriptures is screaming about it. Its primal cry is for economic justice. From the beginning of the creation story, it's all gift. The Exodus liberation, the building of the kingdom, the critique of the prophets, even the prayers of the Psalms is about economic justice, because that is the sign of the presence and existence of shalom. Shalom is inner peace, yes, and peace between people, yes, and families and community, but it's also the peace which permeates whole society. How are the weak? How are the vulnerable doing? What about the ill? What about the immigrants and the strangers? The wholeness can only be recognized where there is economic justice. Otherwise, we don't believe it. I know you care about your own, but you don't care about anybody else. Since 2008, from the disaster of that year, of all the jobs that have been created, only 2% have a middle income wage. 2%. That means $35,000 or more a year. 2%. We are creating another peasant serf class. I have a friend in construction. Between 2009 and 12, he lost 9 friends to suicide as construction workers. Now, there may have been other issues, addictions and illness, and you can add all those things in, but the reason it all came to a head was unemployment. We don't talk about these human dimensions, do we? Bailouts. You know what? I believe in them. I do. I believe they're historical necessities, and they have to be implemented. Even when Wall Street is the culprit. It had to happen. No objection. I also believe they should be expanded. And now it's time for the 8 million families whose homes have been illegally foreclosed upon to get their homes back. With compensation, because the banks are doing okay, aren't they? It'll never happen. Somebody else has to pay for the crimes and the sins of the responsible sinners. It never bodes well. We could expand it too, like Franklin Roosevelt did during the Great Depression. You know, he put to work 8.5 million people. Private industry can't do it, won't do it, doesn't have the means to do it. But government can. 8.5 million people. I love this. 5,000 of them were artists. Who were employed to do art. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that today? We have regressed. Any artist to do art. Backward. Wow. Shall we? Can we? And all the talk of government spending. You know what? There's always room to cut in government. I'm sure there, of course there is. But it's also helped to deal with reality. This is a little gift I received from Jerry, a good friend of mine, Jerry Greenfield. He's more popularly known and associated with his partner, Ben and Jerry. Jerry has gone to the halls of Congress for 10 years. He has a contraption, which I didn't get. But he stacks up Oreo cookies. And each one is 1% of the federal budget. And Jerry's able, with his contraption, to get 55 Oreos to stand on top of each other, which would come up about here. Mine collapsed. So, you know, you can see the pie there. 55%, and there's nobody who debates this, of the budget goes to militarism. Now, there's no debate about that. Many people think it should be 2/3. Some even say 80%, but, you know, And the thing you need to know is that none of the money for Iraq and Afghanistan came from the Pentagon. Those are special funds. That's how we do things. Okay, so now, I thought it important, you also get to see how much we spend on health care in this country. And education. I'm done. Oh, and welfare. How we love to curse the poor and those on welfare for destroying our economy, don't we? Just those people. This is one face of the inequality that Ron is addressing with us this morning. Now, Jesus tells a parable, which is absolutely the most obnoxious and offensive parable in the whole of the Gospels for today. People hate it. We really do, don't we? We just hate this one. He could tell all the rest of them, but he should have skipped this one. And why? It's not talking about fair pay and equal wages or time. It's not talking about union busting or devious management. So the point's right there at the conclusion where the owner says, and why do you begrudge me my generosity? Why? You've all gotten a day's wage. Why begrudge the generosity? See, that's the way God is. God moves towards us. God invests everything in us. Life, children, joy, possibilities, music, sunshine, the Arctic, new friends. The earth, a place to walk, air to breathe. I know life can be wretched. I know that. But what have we been given? And the market functions on the basis of a myth, which we've all been taught to believe, which is self-interest is driving everything. Is that true? Is it true? How many people like that do you hang out with? Are you one of them? Members of your family? Greedy, miserable, little wretched beings? Is that the way you look at it? Your children, your grandchildren? They're trying to take everything I've got. I don't get that impression. I just don't. So what if it's not true? What if that is not true? And you know, there have been studies upon studies upon studies in all kinds of fields now, which have identified what the core needs of human beings are. What people really want is they want personal connection. They want recognition of our common humanity. Hey guys, I'm one of you. Do you see that? I'm just like you. I have the same needs and feelings and fears. I'm one of you. People really want that. They want meaning in life. They want celebration, and we all want to live into our spiritual values. Because that gives my life a sense of core and connection. People really want to give of themselves. Their caring, their compassion, their gifts, their skills, their time, their energy. People want to do this. Because that's who we are. We've been made in the image of God who is generous, and it's outpouring, which is part of our being. So everything could change. It really could. The gospel's offering us another alternative. What if we shift the focus from jobs and money to creating livelihoods? where people are living and practicing what they care about. Where our household really matters. Where we can nurture one another. Where we can encourage the image of God in each other. What if we were to bring joy and meaning to people's lives? And the whole household was to be sustained by the oikonomia of God. It's what we want. Communion with life. The giving and receiving of equality. And it can happen. That's why Jesus told the parable, to make sure we are permanently irritated and that we will never accept the way it is right now. Never! Because that is not good enough. And so what if others begrudge us our generosity? They'll just have to get used to it. Amen. Peace, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.